Welcome to the Business Brothers Podcast with Pradeep and Harjeet Sangha. If you are an entrepreneur, own your own business, or are part of a family business, this is the podcast for you. Hey, welcome to the CEO Anonymous Podcast with Pradeep Sangha, a captivating platform designed for CEOs, business owners, and entrepreneurs like you. Our goal is to provide insightful answers to your burning business or personal performance questions. So join our panel of experts as they share their powerful wisdom and expertise. We greatly appreciate your participation. And to submit your questions, simply go to askpradeep.com. Now let's get to the show and delve into the heart of today's question. So here we are with another episode, and I'm excited to have a fellow, well, used to be a Canadian, I guess. I don't know if you still consider yourself Canadian, Christian. Canadian. But a fellow Canadian here. We got Christian Sidhu, who is the founder and CEO of The Evolved Co. So thank you for joining us, Chris.
My pleasure. Great to be here.
So you and I are going to be chatting about this one theme or question, which is, as a CEO, how do you deal with conflicting priorities? But before we jump into that, can you give our audience a little bit of a background in terms of who you are, where you came from, and what you're up to today?
For sure. So my background is quite varied from a business perspective. 20 years land development and construction, been in cannabis for 12 years, doing a lifestyle brand for the last 4 or 5 years. A couple other side ventures here and there. Got a film project, some apps, social media things. So lots of varied projects. And I surround myself with very good people and good partners and good relationships. So that's how all of those foster. From an artistic background, I love music, dance, martial arts. Been doing sports my whole life. Soccer for 10 years, volleyball, basketball, rugby throughout high school. And then teaching and training martial arts for about 40 years. So got punches in the face from life and from sports and martial arts too. So,
yeah. Okay, I got to ask you about that, the martial arts side. So what discipline do you practice?
So I have a second degree black belt in Taekwondo from when I was very young, 10 till 13, 14. I got that then. And then in my later years at starting around 20 years old, I did a martial arts called AOMAPE. It's like 16 different martial arts in one. And my master had a fourth up to eighth degree black belt in those martial arts. So I have a third degree black belt in that.
Wow, that's pretty impressive. That's awesome. Yeah.
Thank you.
And so now you're originally from Canada, you're in the US now. And what are you focused on in terms of your projects in terms of where you spend most of your time and effort?
So I jump around a little bit. Actually, technically today, I'm actually calling you from Vancouver. I'm back home for a little bit, handling some stuff. Yeah, so I'm back between Vancouver and LA quite a bit, and then travel wherever business takes me. But that's part of the balance, I guess, is you go where you're needed and prioritize some things like pop up or take priority or things happen and you have to make adjustments. And I think one of the keys to that is being very flexible. So,
yeah exactly. So let's jump right into it. So as a CEO, what are your thoughts around this concept that we all are challenged with, which is conflicting priorities? So how do you tackle conflicting priorities?
I think taking lots of deep breaths and, just...
That's a good way to start.
Yeah, just pulling yourself back, honestly, and getting a bit of perspective on what needs to happen at what time. So again, I'm very blessed. I surround myself with very intelligent, talented people that handle a lot of my stuff for me, manage my shops, work on like Antoinette and Crystal and the whole team, the digital and social and all my marketing needs. And I've got my production teams and all that stuff. So I'm able to delegate very well and not take everything on. But at the same time, at the end of the day, the buck stops with me. And so I have to make the final decisions and put the actual energy and focus behind the projects. So it's tough because there's so much going on all the time. But I found that honestly, from a lot of my martial arts training and discipline, I have a very zen state about me, even through high stress situations, which is most of life these days. And so it's just a matter of really breaking it down and putting things into priority of what needs to be done now. What can we put on to a little bit later in the day? Does that need to be done tomorrow? Is it an emergency for now? Or what kind of deadlines we have? And really kind of break it down from that perspective and then just keep attacking each job.
Yeah, it's interesting because before we even touched on this topic, you were talking about having good people. I think that obviously has a massive impact in terms of priorities and how to deal with them. I think one of the challenges that CEOs have is sometimes we create or we have bigger problems because we don't have the right people on our team.
Correct.
And so how do you or what do you look for in terms of bringing people onto your team? And what is the right type of person? Or when you, I can't remember the exact word that you use, good people or whatever terminology that was. How do you determine whether that person is the right fit for your team?
So I think the dynamic is like multifaceted. So there's a professional part of it where everybody needs to have like the good resume and have past experiences and all those kinds of things and have other projects that you can see, okay, they worked on this. Will that be a good fit for what I want to do? But also like, are they good people? Like, can you hang around with them? Can you spend time with them? If you're not working, would you want to actually talk to them? And I think that energetically that plays a lot into it. And you can have like a rock star on your team, but maybe not the right energetic fit, or maybe they've got some stuff going on in their life that doesn't make them a very pleasant person. And that, even though they're great at their job, will like really eat away at the ecosystem and your own energy for having to deal with them all the time. So I think it's really trying things out and surrounding yourself with people that really have that good energetic state that can handle stresses and problems that come up in a very positive fashion and not kind of be the Debbie Downer of the situation or bring the negativity to the situation, because things are hard enough in life already. And bringing negative energy to those situations just makes everything worse.
Yeah, I'm a huge advocate for positive energy, optimism, being solution focused rather than bringing up just problems. And as you were talking, I was just reflecting because this is something that I did personally this year. Was I made a commitment to myself that anybody that I work with directly on my team, I have to like them.
Yeah.
And you know, that seems so vain at the beginning, but then after a while, I'm like, yeah. Because it's one of those subjective things as an individual, who you like and for what reasons. But then I just came to the realization that for my direct team, I have to like them. Yeah. I think it's almost impossible to have everybody in your organization someone that you like. But at least for the direct people that are within my vicinity, I have to like them. And I've made that commitment now that I'm not going to bring on anybody who I don't like. And I think... love that. Yeah, and I think it's really interesting here because then it goes back to what you were saying is you can actually go out and hang with them. You can have these team building events. You can have conversations about stuff outside of work, which build more trust and effectiveness for a team. And it's hard to do that with individuals that, you know, you're not really, I'm just going to say, like liking very much.
It's true, because if you have that dynamic where you actually like each other, then you can have the hard conversations and butt heads and really get to core problems without worrying about, oh, am I offending them? Or is this going to go sideways? Or are we going to like not work together anymore? Because you've already created a baseline of like, yeah, we're in this together. You've got the right energy. You got my back. I got your back. So the things you can accomplish when you have people with the right alignment is like unstoppable.
Yeah, I think what you just said there is awesome because it makes it so much easier to have those difficult conversations with people that you like. And that's why I think a lot of people avoid, and even CEOs, we avoid difficult conversations with people we don't like. And so it becomes more difficult to be able to build that trust. So I think that's brilliant. So for you, do you have any practical systems that you use or approaches that you use when it comes to identifying your priorities and which one to tackle or which one? Or are you one of those CEOs that just kind of goes by your gut and says, okay, this is what we need to deal with now?
I think there's a balance there. There's technical things that need to get done, and that's where you rely on the people that you surround yourself with to kind of keep you on track and what's the list we need to get done today and stuff. But from an energetic point of view and from a gut point of view, as a founder and as a creator and as the engine that's running all of the things that I'm doing, you have to really feel what's needed at the time. And you could be a little off sometimes, but if you're dialed in and you're feeling good and you're not letting the stresses of the world get to you and you're really in the zone of what's going on in your business and your life, I think, you know, most of the time you're making those right decisions. And actually, when you are in that zone as well, the decisions that you make when things don't go how they're supposed to go is actually that's what's supposed to happen too. It's a weird dynamic. I've had so many things where you like work super hard and you get all the, and you're so focused and things go completely sideways. You're like, oh my God, like, how, like this is not what I wanted to have happen at all or not what I expected at all. But in the moment, it seems difficult. But then like a day later or a week later, you're like, oh my God, that turned out amazing. Because if it had gone this way, it would have been a catastrophe. So I think when you have that really good confidence in yourself and that gut feeling and that right energy moving forward, what happens for you is the greatest thing. And also what doesn't happen for you at that time is also the greatest thing.
I appreciate you bringing that up because I have a question for you based on what you just said there. Do you find that, let's just say you have two businesses or one is doing great, it's rocking and rolling, and then the other one comes up against a challenge that you're, you know, similar to what you talked about. Yeah. Do you find that you tend to lean into the one that's doing great, or do you find that you lean into the one that has a challenge? Because what I see in a lot of people in general, not just CEOs, and when they tend to focus on the areas that are going well and avoid those things that are not going well. Mm.
My immediate response was lean into the challenge one. That was
lean into the challenge. Interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. That's awesome. I like adversity. I don't know what's wrong with me, but I like adversity. I like difficult things. And I think that when you see that as, I'm sorry, my friend, she's making a lot of noise here. Tito, unbelievable.
That's all good.
He's grabbing his phone. Go sit back, sir. I'm so sorry about that. So it's when you lean into those things, I think is where you're most creative, because the good stuff is good. And then you're just kind of trucking along and everything's great. But I think really good things can come out of challenging yourself and those challenges in life and the adversity that comes with it. So I think that, as soon as you said that, I'm like, yeah, I go for the challenge or the hard stuff right away. And I think there's a lot of growth there. And once you accomplish that, it kind of supercharges all the good stuff that's going on. It just makes all the good stuff so much better.
So is it fair to say that you prioritize or you take on the challenges first based on what you're saying?
I'm a little weird. I don't think about that too much. It's like whatever's happening, I just rock and roll with it and just like chop things down as needed.
Got it. So you kind of take it as it comes.
Yeah, I don't. If you know, I feel like if you think too much, and this is not like a martial arts thing, most people think a lot. They're very good at thinking, okay at doing, and not good at feeling anything. And so when you're training, we say turn your brain off, move your body and let your energy, let your feelings start to move. And you create a much better balance that way. So I think a lot of people overthink most things in life, where if you just moved your body a little bit and felt what was right to do, you would accomplish so much more.
Yeah, I think that's, again, that's a great point, because I'm a huge believer. I used to do martial arts when I was younger, Taekwondo, but I do a lot of energy practices, traditional Chinese, like Tai Chi, for example, and Qigong. And obviously using body to create energy is so important, especially in Western society, because we try to use our mind so much. And often that is self-defeating. Whereas in the Eastern culture, they teach you to use your body to create energy, to lead your mind rather than your mind leading your body. And that's one of the things that I always work with CEOs on is use your body to kind of shift your mindset. And so I think that's extremely powerful that what you just said there.
Yeah, that's exactly correct. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think these, we're seeing more and more of this come into the Western culture. And I think more and more professionals are adopting these types of practices, these ancient practices, right? Where mindfulness is becoming a huge thing these days. One of my good friends is a mindfulness professor at the university here locally and does this work in corporations. And I think it's what you said is extremely powerful. Because a lot of the times our mind creates emotions and energy that is self-defeating, and that can slow us down. And that can create bigger challenges when it comes to conflicting priorities. So what practices do you do outside of martial arts that allow you to be calm, that allow you to use your body?
So I try to work out as much as possible, at least once a day. If not, you know, if I miss a day here and there, just get to the gym and stuff. And then I'll do some of my training as well. Some like, you know, some move and shadow boxing and some kicks and just like some different forms and things to keep my body a little active. Obviously I'm not teaching and training as active as I used to be. So, but I try to always keep that practice going, and that helps a lot for the balance of the rest of the day stuff. Also mindfully during the day, people will be like, Krish, are you okay? Cause my breathing's, I just take these big deep breaths and exhales. Like, are you okay? I'm like, I'm just breathing, you know, come on. Yeah. So those, I think breathing is such a big key. I know there's a lot of people coming out, you know, about that, and people be more mindful of that, but your breath is so important, and yeah, it just can change your whole regulatory system of your body so quickly from a stress state to a calm state if you just take the proper breath. So I find myself doing that throughout the day. It's just like a lot of deep breathing and like a lot of like shaking my head, you know, cracking things and just moving things around and just de-stressing the body as much as possible.
Yeah, you got the typical kind of martial arts approach, right? You'll notice that guys just they're moving around. I got a few friends that are like that. They're constantly moving around. That's awesome.
Yeah.
How do you manage the priorities for your team, or how do you set the priorities for your team? Or do you allow them to set their own priorities? So you have your own priorities and you're dealing with different things, but then how do your team members, how do you enable them to deal with their own priorities?
Again, I'm really blessed to have incredible people around me. So they're rock stars in their own rights. So the overarching principles of what needs to be done, I kind of set with them. So it's a team exercise. For example, with the marketing team that Antoinette and Crystal and Elisa and the whole team are there at Loop. I rely on them a lot to be like, okay, here's what we think we should do. And I'm like, yeah, that fits with me, or no, that doesn't fit, because they're experts at what they do. So I allow that to foster. Same with, for example, managing my shop and doing all the stuff, the day-to-day stuff. I have great people to look after that kind of stuff. But I take care of the overarching business, check the banking every day, make sure things are paid, make sure all that kind of stuff, and keep all those things in check. So I think it's a collaborative effort. But again, when you're a founder and CEO, the ethos around your business is you. Nobody can create that except yourself. But then the extension of that is creating the right environment for those teams that have the rock stars on them to create and be involved in what you're doing. Because they'll think of things that I have no idea about. And they're more expert in their field to bring things up that I wouldn't even know. And I'd be like, oh my God, that's an amazing idea. Let's rock and roll with that. So I think that's a huge part of the success that I've had so far, is me giving the right energetic state to what we're doing, but then surrounding myself with rock stars that can help boost everything that's going on.
That's awesome. And so how long did it take you to develop that team?
I think, you know, it's a combination of years and years, I think. And my good intentions throughout life and good energy and stuff I've had throughout the years have created a lot of great relationships around the globe. And I think that's where a lot of these things have come from just meeting somebody at an event and that fostering that relationship over years to be a successful venture now moving forward in the business perspective.
Yeah, that's great. The energy that you put out is eventually the energy that you get back. It's 100%. It's interesting. You know, it's something that I work with CEOs on. It's like, okay, if you're looking for good people, how are you actually projecting that energy out?
Right.
Because eventually, and I'm huge into energy, and it sounds like you are as well.
Yeah.
And I do believe that it comes back. So anytime in my circle where there are CEOs that don't have the right people, I always ask them, well, what are you projecting out to your team as well?
Yeah.
So a lot of times what we project out is what we get back. So let's talk about the Evolved Co then, and sure, what you're working on. So you got this water, right? Yeah. This supercharged water, or however.
I was keeping it. Here it is. Yeah.
Yeah. There you go. Right there. That's an awesome bottle, by the way.
And I tell you something.
It's funny because my wife is big into health. We're big into functional medicine. And my wife said to me the other day, it's just kind of funny. She's like, why don't we start our own water line? I'm like, are you kidding me? I said, do you amount of the amount of work that's in there? And guess what?
That was
what?
The right response, by the way. Yeah, that was the right response.
I said, like from a business standpoint, like you're dealing with all the big players. You know what? You're going up against the big animals. But I'm like, I'm also interviewing someone next week on the podcast about this. So we'll get the inside scoop.
There you go.
So what is it? What is it like? And how did you get this idea? Because I think a lot of people out there, the vast majority of people would be like, water is water is water. You're just bottling it up and selling it to people. So maybe we could talk about what's so special about the water, and then we could talk about the competitive environment.
Absolutely. So we are extremely special and extremely unique because we have a frequency technology that we apply to the water. So my partner spent about 10 years and $12.5 million developing the technology. And basically what it is, we put the tech into like a sticker that's got like 1,050 nanolayers in it. It has the frequency tech embedded inside and programmed specifically for the water. So when we put it on the bottle of water, it energizes the water and makes it perform in its most optimum solubility. So we're literally changing the thermodynamics of the water. So when you drink the water now, you're physically, technically absorbing more of the water, and all the minerals and electrolytes and nutrients that are in the water now are at their most bioavailable. So you're actually absorbing more of those as well. So from a hydration and recovery perspective, it's like game changer. I try not to get too excited about it, but it's so exciting. And we've got the clinical trials, we've got the hydration studies. So we've got a ton of science backing everything that we do. So the efficacy is there. A ton of real world examples from athletes and celebrities and influencers, everybody who drinks it and who have performed with it and done races with it and workouts with it. And they're just like, this is like the best thing ever. So that's what makes us so special. And honestly, the only reason I got into the beverage space and what we're doing as a global company, because we're so unique, because nobody has our tech, we can beat everybody else. And everybody else can say, oh, we're a performance this and we're a hydration this, but they have zero science behind what they're doing. Or the science that they do have is, you know, who funded that science, so to speak, you know? So it's very exciting for that perspective to be so unique in the marketplace and have an incredible product that's going to give a lot of benefit to everybody.
Yeah, so I think there'll probably be people out there that are a little bit skeptical. And so my background's also in neuroscience biochemistry. Yeah. So I'm very, very familiar with this. And water is not all equal. Yes, even within molecules and chemicals, things change, right? And a lot of it does have to do with energy.
Correct.
And with water, I had to learn myself that water can be absorbed in different ways. And water bioavailable, right? Because your body needs to be in a state to be able to absorb that water, and hydration and the importance of electrolytes that you're talking about. And I think the science behind that is fascinating because it wasn't around 15 years ago. People really didn't talk about this. And I think more and more athletes, I think you're in a good spot because in the athletic space, it's great. Every athlete wants to be performing the best. They're told by the trainers they have to consume, you know, good stuff, whether it's food or liquid beverages, whatever that looks like, to be a top performing athlete. So what is your hope with the company? Is it to become, I know you were talking about a lifestyle brand. Is it for the everyday average person? Is it for a specific type of person? Is it for the athlete? Who are you targeting there?
So why we did a lifestyle brand is because we're starting with the water for itself, and then we're going to come out with flavored water, but we can do a bunch of different products behind it. So we're going to do a whole wearable line. It's going to be put the frequency tech on wearables, enhance performance, recovery, calmness. I'm going to be doing a whole skincare line with anti-inflammatory frequencies, anti-anxiety frequencies. So we're not a product company. We're a lifestyle brand, and the lifestyle brand is health and wellness and all the good things that you can be. And, you know, so that's why we're doing what we're doing. The water was the easiest one to come to as far as a product to market, because on a scale, it's easy for us to do, and it'll give the most kind of bang for your buck for people, as they're consuming it to get the benefits from it.
Awesome. So is the Evolve Co, is that the organization that you're the CEO of?
Correct. Yes.
Okay, awesome. And then where's your focus geographically? Are you focused more in the US? Are you selling here in Canada as well?
Right now, we're just in the US for sales. So the corporation is actually a US corp and launching in the US, and then we'll expand into Canada. We cover North America and then go global after that.
Okay, so you must have an interesting marketing and market penetration strategy, because you are going up against the big giants when it comes to water.
We are,
right?
Yeah.
And they have, you know, we're talking about oceans of money to be able to spend. So what is your angle? What's your unique way of getting into the market?
So I think we have a really cool team behind us that we've got a ton of great relationships as far as celebrities and athletes and influencers. And it's kind of like almost two different versions. So we're going to do the cool, sexy version where we get all the cool people drinking it and all the athletes and teams and all that stuff and leverage as many relationships as possible. But then also the efficacy side of like the education behind why it's so good, that'll kind of trickle in behind it when people start drinking it and you like actually start feeling better when you drink our water. So energetically, you're drawn toward drinking our product. Because if you switch and just drink something else, first of all, it won't taste as good. And secondly, you just won't feel as good. So we have that background of being able to have that cycle of people coming back to us. And again, in that good energetic state. Going against the big guys is very hard because they got a ton of money and it's a multi-billion dollar space. But again, if you're going to do something, you got to go do it. So we'll find the ways to do it, you know, and I've been self-funding so far, but you know, we're looking to maybe raise some capital and do some right partnerships and do those kinds of things. So there's a ton of different business perspectives that we can attack this from. But at the end of the day, when you have a really great product and really great team and it's helping a lot of people, you're going to win. You just got to get through all the pushups ahead of time.
Got it. So coming back to this original theme around priorities. So what are your main priorities for the Evolve Co. right now that you're focused on?
So the priorities are, I guess, getting the product to market. That's the main thing for us. So distribution is a main thing. Right now we're available on Amazon. I just had Walmart say, come on to walmart.com. We're onboarding onto Unify. So a couple major distribution plays. We've got our Shopify launching, whole affiliate program. So doing all the kind of the digital and social stuff. And then in the meantime, I'm talking to all the major big box stores to get into retail as well.
Got it. So that it's the market penetration. And so where do you, I got to ask this question then, where do you get the water from?
So here's the cool thing is that we can source wherever. And here's what we do. So right now I have a factory out of Sacramento in California. So basically we can take sourced water, like almost even tap water, municipal water. We RO it. So we purify the water and then we remineralize the water. And so it's got the right mineral content for hydration. And then we put our sticker on it, put our sleeve on it, and we now have the best water on the planet. So we can do that wherever we want to do it, both in North America or globally.
Have you ever thought about, so now you're distributing it that way, have you thought about licensing the technology?
Yes.
And you know, like home filtration systems and so forth, is that something that's, you know, a potential as well?
Yeah, that is the play as well. So we're creating a new beverage category called the performance beverage. And for something to be called technically a performance beverage, our beverage, our liquid itself is performing better. And when you drink it, it helps you perform better. So we're creating a new beverage category, like kind of like how Red Bull created the energy drink market. There was no energy drinks before Red Bull. Yeah. They became the category king. That's really our objective, is to create the performance beverage category, be the category king. And anybody that wants to actually be a true performance beverage has to license our tech from us.
Got it. Makes sense. So you're taking that Red Bull approach, the Elon Musk approach, create your own category and be the leader in that category. That makes sense. I like that. I think that's a great approach.
Thank you.
So where can our listeners go to find out more about your company, more about you, if they're interested in this technology, perhaps, and maybe even investing? What's the best way for them to reach out to you or someone on your team?
So the digitals and socials are great. Instagram at Chris Sidhu 23. I'm a Jordan fan. So Jordan, you know, yeah. got out the 23 there. So that's been my number forever. So at Chris Sidhu 23, and that'll link you to all my stuff. So the Evolve Co's on there, the Perform H2O is on there, all the cannabis stuff, my philanthropy stuff with Holly Rod's on there. So that's the main one. And then we have ChrisSidhu.com, lists all my stuff and how to get in touch with us. So a few different ways.
Awesome. Well, I want to thank you for being on our show here and sharing tons of wisdom. And I'm excited to see where the Evolve Co goes and participate in this performance, you can say category or brand when it comes to water, because I think it's much needed here. So I want to thank you. I hope for those of you out there listening and tuning in, take a look at this. Water is important. It is what we are made up of the most. And so having quality water is important. So I also want to thank you for tuning in as well. So Chris, thank you. And I hope you have an awesome one, man.
Thanks so much. Great to see you.
Thank you for tuning in to today's episode. If you got value from the show, we have one simple ask. Please go to your favorite podcast platform and hit subscribe. We'll see you next time. Thank you for tuning in to the Business Brothers podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please drop us a review on your favorite podcast platform. Thank you, and until next time.